Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Everyday Struggle podcast. Nadeska here, running through the week in hip-hop with my guys DJ Academics and Wayno. Now, we went into last weekend looking forward to a new collab from Tekashi 6ix9ine and Nicki Minaj, and although Fifi did drop as promised, it was overshadowed by news that the rapper was kidnapped and robbed at gunpoint in Brooklyn on the same day. The timing definitely made some people wonder if this was just another publicity stunt. What really went down, Academics? Talk to
us. Is this real?
People think it's a publicity stunt. This seems like a lot.
No,
I
think something happened, honestly. But I don't know exactly what happened. This whole story is like a clusterfuck of like, okay, I'm following, but what?
Right.
You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? A lot of these situations kind of are. And the only thing that kind of made sense was an inside job, right? But if we look at this situation, we look at other situations reported before, like the Rich the Kid situation. Mm-hmm. Like that story made sense up to a point when you're like scouring through the details. Like, for example, the Rich the Kid situation is like, yeah, they broke into the crib, but there's like a, you need a security code to even get it on the property. Mm-hmm. So how did they, you know what I mean? So a lot of things you start wondering. But even with this, I was following it for a little while, like in terms of like, okay, so you're getting home at 4 a.m. and people block you in and just grab you and threw in the car. But then you hear the reports of what supposedly happened. I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me. I was thinking about like a movie like Taken or something like that. God. I'm starting to make light of a very
bad situation. When you saw this, did you... I know some people are saying because he had the collab with Nicki drop, they think it's a publicity stunt. We're not saying that.
At first, I didn't think it was real.
Okay.
I didn't think it was real. I thought it was just like anything else. It's like you always see something happen or hear something happen and don't think it's real. But if it is real, I think that he brings this energy to himself. We talked about it before. He brings this type of energy to himself. First off, for him to have $850,000, I don't know how true that is, but if he has $850,000 worth of jewelry and money and he lives in Brooklyn, that's stupid. One, that's the dumbest shit you could possibly do. Two, I think a lot of people think that this shit is fake because he doesn't cry wolf, he plays wolf. Mm-hmm. He plays wolf a lot of times. He's always talking how nobody gonna do nothing to him, how nobody gonna touch him, he's never gonna take an L, and it seems like just quiet now.
Yeah, I mean, we've like, talked about the issues he's had with people outside of his camp, but I don't think anyone was expecting him to say it was an inside job. Is this something rappers have to deal with a lot?
Listen, man, this shit is the streets. Right? This shit is the streets. When you put your... He affiliates himself with people from the street. If you put yourself in that type of line and it's an inside job, that means you're not feeding your wolves. It's that simple. If it's an inside job and it's people you know, then the people that's touching him or touched him might have been the closest people to him. But why is that? That means you're not feeding them wolves.
Well, from what he said to me on Twitch publicly is that it's an inside job in the sense of people who he used to associate with, who knows how he rolls. They know stuff that stranger wouldn't know. They did it, but not necessarily that those people are still associated with him. Okay, so shit, it might have been, homies that, I seen the Gummo videos, like 1,000 niggas in there, okay? If those were the wolves, right? And all of a sudden the wolves ain't getting fed, and one of them said, man, I know how this nigga move, man. Let's go get this nigga, man. Yeah. Now, what I was saying in terms of the story just a little bit off, number one, it was conflicting reports, right? The first story we heard that he was attacked or blocked in at his crib, and then we heard it was like in traffic, he was bumped from behind and the gunman ran up. Again, I don't even know exactly what happened, and again, we're just going off police reports, mm-hmm. right? We're going off police reports and what he told police because they interviewed him. But it did sound a little fishy to me that they grabbed the driver's phone, they threw it out, but yet they allow you to make a call and you call somebody at your crib to bring the jewelry downstairs. I don't know. That seemed like a lot. Okay.
Do you feel like you play a part in any of this?
But play a part in a nigga getting robbed?
Not a part of him getting not a part.
It's not no inside job like that.
No. I don't mean that him getting robbed. I mean like as far as this energy. Because when he's saying shit like, ain't nobody gonna touch me, the king of New York takes no L's, and then it's stuff that you may post, right? Then just reiterating what he's saying, do you think that brings around some of this energy? Where people wanna rob him?
Nah, I think to be honest, I think niggas is broke. And niggas see a nigga who's flossing. What I did tell him and what I have told him, you have to get out of Brooklyn.
You think that's just based on people being broke?
This is the unfortunate thing that most of these rappers don't understand, right? You're fucking rich. Like, you know what I mean? I hate to even bring up X. My nigga, you're driving around a BMW i8 like it's a fucking Honda. People see that type of shit. You have no security. They know when you're lacking. Niggas is watching you when you're watching yourself. The way how people move is different. Let's stop acting like robberies. Again, I can understand, like, if this was, like, say, oh, some shit that we could easily connect or maybe possibly think that this is something from, like, this is people that wanted money. This is not even somebody. If we looked at it, he barely got hurt. They just wanted whatever. They got $20,000 in cash.
I know that, but what I'm saying is that the energy of him even getting robbed, and what I mean by that is the shit. The universe is undefeated. I don't give a fuck what it is you do. I said it before. If you play ball and you say nobody could beat me in ball, it's gonna be somebody to challenge you. Regardless if people is broke or not, that shit comes from the energy he puts out. Every time he just put up a video talking about something. I love telling people suck my dick and hiding behind my security. Right. Yeah. Wait a second. He just put a video up saying that shit. He ain't have no security with him. In Brooklyn, where he lived, why the fuck is you living in Brooklyn with $1 million worth of jewelry?
So here's the thing. If this happens again, God forbid, we don't want it to happen. It's like, you can't really feel bad, right? This was the lesson. So if you're saying it's people who were in his crew and they still know who he moves, it's time to switch everything up.
The reason why, you know what I mean, in terms of I disagree with all the energy talk when it comes to these situations, is that everybody gets robbed.
Everybody don't get robbed. Everybody.
I can name you 20 other celebrities that got robbed. I guarantee. I guarantee for the other 19, and I'll throw 6ix9ine in it, you would not say it's because the energy they put out.
But were you talking about 6ix9ine?
But what I'm saying is that if I could name 20 robberies of rappers being robbed, and you don't at all say, oh, it's the energy they're putting out, that's why it's contributing to them being robbed. Why, for one, this one guy, that's what it is.
Because of how he fucking acts and how he talks and all the videos he puts up and all the songs he makes and the interviews that he does.
I don't say that attracts the robbery, right? Because again, I'm saying, once you're a rapper, you're rich, if you're lacking and you make it easy for things to get it,
That's not the same shit.
I will say to you, right, in terms of if you want to say energy, yeah, we're not gonna. We felt really bad for Richard Kidd. He doesn't taunt people. We feel really bad for him. He doesn't say, I never take L's. Mm-hmm. We feel really bad for him. 6ix9ine is like, bro, we don't know if we can really feel that bad.
But why?
For him.
Based on the energy he gives. Okay. Exactly.
So that's only how we perceive the situation. But I'm not saying that's why it happened. If you could connect it to why it happened.
I don't know who robbed. Look, one, I'm not no detective. I don't know who robbed this nigga. I don't know how he got robbed and none of that. What I do know is that he got robbed and he got pistol whipped or whatever the case may be. Now, I said before, this nigga's fan base is not street niggas. When you start affiliating yourself with street niggas and you talking that tough shit, somebody's going to do something. What? And that can come from your wolves, too. You think that if this nigga was the same person and he was never acting like none of that shit, how he acts, that would happen to him the same exact way? just because he got money. It's a lot of people that got money and jewelry that don't get touched at all because they're not taunting people and saying nothing will happen to
you. All right,
you.
So question. He put up that post, right, saying, I saw what happened to X. I realized you can't push it too far. Let them take whatever they needed. My life was more valuable. Yeah. Do you feel like that's sincere? Or is it he's just saying that right now?
Because no, absolutely.
That he's going to actually change the way he moves?
No. He's literally told my situation. And I think, you know what I mean? Like 21 Savage said something which I think was super dope coming from him. Because the whole point I've been making, and you know what I mean? 6ix9ine, whether you want to say he's from the street or he's surrounded by street dudes, most of these newer rappers that we cover day in and day out, they're not like street dudes. They're just like rich dudes. Mm-hmm. Like they're just rich. You get me? And what happens is that they move differently. So when 21 Savage says, yo, if y'all get in a situation, man, give it up, man, because some of y'all, like, y'all don't even move like that. Just give it up. 6ix9ine, he actually made the right choice. Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to die over this shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I was talking to him and his manager was there as well, apparently what they hinted to, and it's kind of clear what they were trying to say, they're saying, yeah, the reason why he got bruises is because maybe he was trying to be reluctant with giving it up, mm-hmm. right? So, again, who knows what happened?
That?
Huh?
You believe that?
If I believe that?
Yeah.
I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. I'm going off. Something happened. Again, this shit sound like taking part five.
All
okay?
right, listen, man. I don't believe that he got hit because he was resisting. I come from outside, for real. Like, I come from outside. Like, and this is not a bragging point. I got some of the worst friends ever. If a motherfucker is hitting you, that's because they're showing you that they're not playing. They're not going to pull a gun and say, hey, you know, I think it'd be nice if you give up your jewelry. No, they're going to hit you to show you that I'm not fucking playing with your ass. Just to show you how serious it gets. Because the next step after hitting you is shooting you. Right? The whole fact of the matter is this. I believe that, and I said it before, if this kid didn't act the way he did, people wouldn't want to attack him. That's why people didn't believe it at first. That's why I didn't believe it. And this is an unfortunate situation. But at the same time, when you acting like that, niggas is waiting to see something bad happen. He's like the person who drives drunk home every night or drives tipsy, be like, I'm good. I ain't getting into a car accident until something happens. Yeah. And then even that, I don't think he's going to change because right after that, when Trippie Redd says something about him, he said, fuck your dead brother.
Yeah.
Now, wait a second. You just got, first off, I feel like this. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I feel like this. If you just had a traumatizing experience, the last thing I'm going to even do is be on social media, especially if it's an open investigation, whether it's an open investigation on your part with your homies or if it's an open investigation with the police. The last thing you need to be doing is talking about anything on social media. Secondly, if Trippie Redd says something, now you're going to tell that man, fuck your dead brother. This is what I'm saying about that energy. And it don't just take people in Brooklyn. It's people all over the place.
Listen, again, energy is such a vague thing. What I will say, 6ix9ine, unlike most people, he's connected to street dudes. That's been his come up. Your first video, you got a bunch of blood niggas and y'all jumping around and y'all having a great old time. Well, as you go along your career, what happens? We usually see, and we see with most street rappers. You get me? There was a point 50, even he was vocal with saying, hey, listen, a lot of niggas who you used to see beginning of this shit, they're not around anymore, right? And he dealt with it the way he dealt with it, and he was moving accordingly. 6ix9ine, it was either a wake-up call, if we're believing that's what happened. But yeah, some of this shit he's gonna have to deal with where other people won't.
Then on Tuesday, Russ returned to Everyday Struggle to clear the air, talk about his upcoming album, and address the constant backlash that he deals with.
I feel like vulnerability wins.
Are you gonna be vulnerable on this album and moving forward?
Well, I feel like kind of that's why I've won. And for people not kind of educated on maybe the come up of what it was, but the whole SoundCloud shit that kind of propelled me to where it's at now was built off of vulnerability. Songs like Titanic, where it's talking about family, and songs like Goodbye, where I'm calling exes by name and shit like that. Like, people relate to that. You know what I'm saying? And I always tell artists, ask me for advice. I'm like, yo, like, embrace the struggle. Embrace being broke. Embrace all that fuck shit that you're too prideful to address. Embrace it, because that's the shit that that dude in fucking Nebraska is going to be like, yo, you be going through that shit too? Me too. So September 16th, it was the, it's the date of my parents' anniversary, and it's just been, you know, it's been fucked for a little bit now. So it was a hard song to put out, just because like the first verse was from my dad's perspective talking to my mom, and the second verse was my mom talking to my dad. And you know, anyone who follows me knows like my mom's my best friend.
I see she's been on tour with you.
Yeah,
like
she's my best friend. So like,
that's awesome.
It's
yeah, I'll say vulnerability looks good on you and would look really good, and I think it would change your impact. That's like my point for this whole interview, Russ.
I 100% agree. And the ones that follow me know it's real vulnerable. I mean, even me showing my mom, you know what I'm saying, is like, it was a thing that, it was a conversation me and her had to have, because I was like, I don't want to show you. Simply because I want to protect you.
Right.
Because I know how motherfuckers be killing me. I don't need, like, my mom is sensitive. You know what I'm saying? If a tree falls, she's going to cry. You feel me? So, like, or if a leaf falls, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm like, yo.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I didn't want her to be kind of in the mix where I'm posting my mom and motherfucking 13-year-old trolls are going on her account like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? So,
I have a question.
It was hard to put out that song because they didn't hear that song, and it's real personal, and my, you know, it's real life shit.
I got a question. What are some of the things you're doing outside of music? Because I heard that you making some investments and you also writing a book.
Yes. So, I have an apartment complex in Arizona. It's right by Arizona State. Mm-hmm. I invested in a hotel in Vegas with Richard Branson. So. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, I encourage artists and people coming up to just be smart with their money and kind of play the long game, you know, for a genre that's so infatuated with wealth. Mm-hmm. Y'all be doing short-term shit. Like, your actions make me think you don't care about wealth. Mm. Your actions make me think you care about getting the newest fucking designer, showing it on the gram, and then being broke in 2 years. It's like, that shit is baffling to me, and I get it, like, you know, there's not the financial education there and the financial literacy, but
you could be that guy that helps with the education. I talk about it here all the time, and they laugh at me because I'm like, this guy doesn't care. Like,
I'm getting that bread.
I have a line. Yeah, I agree. And it's fucked. You're not gonna like it, but I have a line on the album where some, like, you know, it's just funny owning an apartment complex where, like, one of the people in there to buy college, one of them is a hater. That's a guarantee. But it's like, you be paying me.
And I could put you out.
Part of your mantra is like doing everything yourself.
Yeah.
And people have been used to you producing, writing, mixing, doing everything.
Yeah.
You fuck with Scott Storch heavy.
Heavy.
He's done a couple tracks for you.
Yeah.
And those tracks are kind of good.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and he's a legend.
And people even compliment and say, hey, they like the little change of pace.
Yeah.
What made you step out of that comfort zone, and are you going to keep doing it?
Well, here's the thing. When it was like, I got to do everything myself and whatever, it was by a simple survival perspective. It wasn't like, I'm getting all these offers for people to produce for me. It was like, I don't know anyone. So I got to, like, do the shit myself. It wasn't like, fuck y'all. Excuse me. It was more so like, I got to do it myself because I don't know anyone. So you know what? I'm in this basement. I got to figure out how to make a song. I'm going to make the song. Now, I always, at that point, obviously, I had inspiration. I had Kanye, Dre, Storch, everyone. So when one of my idols reaches out and is like, yo, I want to get it in, lock in, whatever, all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's another misconception is that Russ doesn't fuck with anyone. He thinks he's better than everyone. It's like, listen, it's not that. It's like, I'm not rubbing shoulders and playing the game with y'all. I'm not out in the club like, hey, here's my new rapper friend that I met a month ago that I call brother.
You feel me? Like, you mentioned that you consider Kanye to be a sparring partner, someone who inspired you once you
worked. Yeah, Twisted Fantasy changed my life.
So I'm curious what you think about Kanye's recent releases and that whole whirlwind of press and all the Trump shit that happened around it, because you seem to be big on...
Keep it 100, man. I can't wait.
Big on, like, morality, the anti-drug stance, everything. What do you think about that? Like, tell us.
Listen.
Are we supposed to separate the artist and their political views in this?
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you, internet does not separate that shit.
Some people do, some people don't.
Some people do, but based off of me, I can just tell you, like, motherfuckers, like, I don't even know who he is.
But what do you think?
That motherfucker's an L, so fuck it. You know what I'm saying? So, my opinion is, My opinion is a little bit more difficult now that social media is so transparent. It was one thing back in 2002 where all you got was a CD. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, you didn't know what you were eating for breakfast and where you were waking up at. Now, like, we're waking up with y'all. Like, we be going through trials and tribulations of, like, baby, like, all weirdo shit that I don't really want to be known about. Give me hard-ass beats and verses and hooks. I don't really want to be known, like, did you go vegan yet? You feel me? Like, I'm just trying to, like, you know what I'm saying?
So you ignore all the other stuff. You only listen to the music.
I hear it, I'm like, man, like, as I'm sure as everyone is kind of like, yo, what are we doing here? This is a little nuts. It's a little nuts. But then the music comes out, and you listen to the music. And if you fuck with the music, you fuck with the music. I loved Violent Crimes. I loved Wouldn't Leave. I love a couple songs on the Ye Shit. I love that shit. I love the Kid See Ghost. Reborn is one of the best songs out this year. But I think it all does come back to the music, and I think we also live in a time where people get fake mad for 72 hours.
On Wednesday, G Herbo also made his second appearance on the show to discuss his crazy year, which includes having his first kid and dropping his sophomore project, Swervo. Yo, so you have the second album coming out, Swervo. Did you record it? I know you've been working on it for a while. Was it all done before the baby came along, or did you have to finish up?
No. I'm like, the thing with me, it was finished for sure, though. Like, my album was finished probably like 4, maybe 6 months ago, for real, because I had so many records. But every time I get up with Southside, we do like at least 10 songs, 5 to 10 songs every time we link up, you know. So we just be having new songs, like, all right, swap this, swap that, swap this, you feel me? So it was kind of like finished, but ever since probably like my son been born, though, I know I probably swapped out like at least 6 songs on the album, you know, because
you have the baby tribute on there.
Yeah, that's the last song.
Lit.
What was it like recording that one? Was that an easy song to?
Nah, not really. I didn't even finish it at first. It took me like, honestly, it took me like 2 months to finish that song, because I like fixed one line, finished something. It took me a little minute, because it's different too. I ain't really like, I'm rapping and then I'm like, I don't know, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that you're taking time on it because it means something to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like so many people would say, yo, I could do, like you said, like you would knock out 10 songs with Southside, but then it's like for this one song, you know, it's going.
That one, like I relayed it, mm-hmm. I finished it, and then like me and Southside went over, he mixed it, added what he wanted to add to the beats, drops, and then he'd tell me to fix that line. Mm. And I think of something, I want to fix the line a certain way, like I really just focus on one line, like on like probably a melodic way, like you know, just try to figure out ways to piece it, because I don't know, it is an important song to me, so
right,
yeah, I definitely was like adding little pieces to it, like I'd be off the song for a whole month probably, go back to it, like, all right, let me do this.
That's dope.
So wait, like so you and Southside recording all that, the Who Run It, the that joint, was that something already you kind of had that kind of worked on, or it was just some organic shit where you just went up there and did a freestyle?
I did the freestyle, just regular. I never.
Because, yo, that shit seems so perfect. Like, it happened so perfect.
It's just God, man. Like, I ain't even want to do that. I ain't going to lie. I wasn't even about to do that freestyle. I had went because I hurt my foot.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm clumsy as fuck, y'all. I'm not gonna lie. I was in the house randomly and stubbed my toe on the bed like this. I felt like it was broke. Like, I swear to God, I did a show and it fucked it up even worse. So I didn't even want to walk, and they trying to make everybody try to get me to do the interview. I'm not even answering for them. Like, I didn't want to do the interview at all. So he wound up calling my assistant, like, man, just get him to do the interview. Because, you know, it was important. Baby, that's a big market to go hit out there, you know. So I went, and he just randomly made me freestyle, right? And I just freestyled. And this shit just started viral. Crazy. Yeah.
He had everybody doing it.
When I relayed it, Southside seen it was going so crazy. I'm like, we like, might as well remake the beat. Told Sizzle, go on, remake the beat. We just going to turn up. And we ass on Swervo.
Did you have a conversation with like DJ? Did DJ Paul produce the original, right?
Yeah.
Did you, like, how was the convo with him?
I actually hollered at him prior. Like, I'd be moving around doing so much. Like, right. I just felt like I was paying homage just by doing the song. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I ain't really even get a chance to reach out. Like, all right, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that probably would have been the right steps to take because we did remake the beat. And
That's getting clear, though.
So yeah, we was just definitely moving around and, you know, doing so much. But I talked to him prior. I already talked to Project Pat. You know what I'm saying? We still going to do some other shit. Like, I already got ideas in my head to really just a whole nother tribute to, you know, 3-6 Mafia. Mm-hmm.
Shit, how did Uzi get on, like, the remix joint? How did that happen?
He heard it and just was like, man, I need parts. You know, that's my man, so he could just call me and be like, man, I'm jumping on that shit, you know? Yeah. So he like, man, I'm finna jump on it. I send it to him and he just hopped on it, you know?
I had to, like, the third month, though. Did you get tired of everybody having, like, a who running freestyle? Like, come on.
I don't really pay attention to it. Like, you know, I don't really be paying attention to it. I just be having, like, the certain ones I like. I'm still reposting shit. Of course, you get tired of hearing it. Like, all right. Yeah. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else freestyle or nothing. I'm just tired of hearing the beat.
Right. Right.
You just be like, all right, shit over with now. But I didn't ever think it was gonna be big, you know, like
that
was
on the intro.
That let me know, that was just a sign to let me know, like, it's the little shit that count. You still gotta focus
on
the most smallest things in your career could be the biggest moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the biggest break I probably didn't have my whole career, and I didn't want to do that.
And you rap.
Not just rap.
Like, for real.
That's on some freestyle shit. He like, baby told me, like, I got a surprise for you. I swear to God, on everything I love, I thought he was finna give me a pair of shoes. He talking about, I got a surprise for you. You want me to rap? I'm like, oh, man.
It's dope because we talk about all the time here how rappers usually don't want to. Even for, like, the freshman freestyle, some people turn it down even though you could pre-write.
Right.
So it's dope that you could just do that off the top.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Like, I was just with Flex yesterday for, like, an hour just freestyling. I was on live, probably ran it back, like, 20 times. Like, I just, you know, that's the whole point. That's the beauty of rapping, to be able to freestyle and go off the top and even mess up, you know, as a free, it's a freestyle. You're supposed to be able to stutter, go back, eye running back, clean my shit up. Like, that's the beauty of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? So that's what make you a rapper. I'm glad that people still appreciate, you know, that part of, you know what I'm saying, rap, because I do too, you feel me? Like, I'm gonna have to freestyle. I'm gonna feel like a weak ass rapper, like, you know, like, somebody tell me to freestyle and you don't, I'm gonna think they looking at me like, man, this nigga can't spit.
Bars mad academic.
This nigga is not on it.
Well, I mean, when you say some shit, it matters how you say it. Like, you be saying some shit, it matters how you say it. Absolutely. If you just basically ad-libbing the beat, you might not have to say no shit.
Right.
You get me? But for him, he has to. I mean, yo, over the last couple of years, it feels like, you know, when people first got introduced to you, you were in that bubble of, like, drill artists. Yeah. Like, now, ain't no way nobody's even thinking about that when they hear your music. Right. You know what I mean? They just think of you as a dope-ass rapper with a dope perspective. Yeah. Right? I mean,
appreciate it.
Do you think, when did you realize, like, you kind of got out of that bubble? Or did you think you were never in it from the get-go? You never really was like, oh, I'm a drill rapper. You get me?
I never, like, from the jump, like, you could go back to old interviews, 2012, 2013, I always said, like, I don't really see myself as a drill rapper, you know? Like, that was the wave that was going on, drill. But from the gate, me and Bibby always was talking about setting Ninth Street, what was going on, you feel me? Like, we not talking about really drill. This is just what's going on. It's killing over here, it's drug dealing, it's, we living in poverty, we 15-year-olds living like 30-year-olds, you know what I'm saying? Like, this what we got going on. Like, you can bubble it as drill or label it, package it however you want to, but this what we giving y'all, and this our real life. And this, the more we grew and evolved, we kept talking about the same thing, so you was able to see when the drill wave was gone, we still was able to articulate our story, you know what I'm saying? So that's probably what separated us from it.
I always wanted to ask you this too, because it's like, for you to be 22, right? Like, you've been, you seem like a veteran now.
Somebody sense, just like, told me that yesterday.
Like, I'm not even, like, not even being funny. It's like, but because of your perspective of the type of shit you was talking about when you came out when you was a teenager, now you've grown into a man, but it's like you're still like one of the youngest guys, but now you have like, you're growing respect from the elder people in the game, and you still have that young fan base. Right. Like, how does that feel? Like, how's your trajectory been? Like, how you been handling that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best of both worlds, and it's kind of, I wouldn't say difficult to balance, but you gotta be like, you still gotta be able to please your fans. That's why I'm giving them Swervo, you know, songs like that, and the album, just a full body of work where I'm able to say, all right, I did Humble Beast, you know what I'm saying? That was my introduction, just who I am to the world, for not only just my fan base, the people who don't know me and want to understand who I am and where I come from, you know. Right. That was that. But Swervo is just being able to enjoy it, because that's what my fans want to see. They just want to turn up. They want to hear how much money I'm making, how many chains I bought, how many cars, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, that's what they want to hear about. So that's what Swervo is, you know, so you got to give them that. Yeah. And then you still got to come behind them with real hip-hop joints, you know, like, that's why I bet me and Sizzle still got hip-hop records, you know what I'm saying? Like, this off the record, I'll be working with No ID a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's really, like, my mentor on some big bro hip-hop, because I'm, you know, I still look at Kiss and Hov, and, like, Hov is, that's, you know what I'm saying? So
I'm happy really, I'm not the only
you gotta
person
follow those.
Like,
nah, you got, I'm definitely trying to follow, you know, the footsteps or just a path or just, you know what I'm saying, how they took their career. You know, so I was just saying yesterday, like, Hov always stayed top tier his entire career. Like, if he wasn't the top, he was one of them in his entire career. You know what I'm saying? And that's not easy to do at all. It's always up and down. Every rapper, you can't name a rapper that didn't have up and down turning point. Like, even if Hov did, we ain't see it. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So, like, that's the type of stuff that I look at. And you gotta be able to balance it out. Like, I wanna be able for a 40-year-old, 50-year-old to be able to hit my shit like that young nigga hard. The same way an 18-year-old supposed to be like, damn, that's, you know, I want them to be like, that's my favorite rapper. And an 18-year-old to be like, that's my favorite rapper, 11-year-old. So for me to be able to do that, cause I do have both, I'm able to balance it out. So for me to be able to do that is just a blessing, man. It's like the best of both worlds.
What does that demographic look like? So, like, because a lot of rappers, like, your age, right?
Yeah.
They usually just say, you know what? The old heads ain't gonna fuck with me anyway. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm only told to the kids.
I want to capture the whole world. Like, I always said, like, this was years ago, I always said, like, my demographic is 5 to 50. I need 5-year-olds, 50-year-olds, everybody, you know what I'm saying? Right. Really dancing to my music. Like, my grandma would be wanting to hear me rap, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real. When I go have family functions, you feel me? Like, still? I know a lot of rap. Yeah, right? My grandma and them make me rap in front of them. Like, I just had to perform in front of my whole family a couple months ago. Like,
that's crazy.
Awesome. Booking you for all the family weddings.
Random shit. Like, you know, just really performing in my mama's living room, having to rap for them. You know, I know other people, grandmas don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Finally, on Thursday, we had Florida rapper Denzel Curry in the studio to tell us how he's feeling as he releases his new project, Taboo, and how much has changed in his life since he made the 2016 XXL freshman list. And another special guest, Denzel Curry.
What it do?
So nice to finally have you on the show.
Guys, good.
Chillin', what's happening?
Coolin', man.
Still, my G.
What up, Wayno?
Yeah.
Look, so man, Wayno.
Oh, shit, damn.
It's
down. Damn. You know what that mean on the street, nigga? That mean you don't fuck with a nigga like that. All right, cool. Damn, you just gonna dab me up.
Before the camera start, Wayno's like, he knows Ray Kwan.
God damn.
You did it. Absolutely.
All right. So I have to correct a comment.
Nah. No, I'm just fuck with you.
See?
What are we?
Nah, I'm fucking with you.
Yo, welcome.
Did the good out, Pam?
Your fans have been hitting us on Twitter all the time, like, what are you going to do to have to get Denzel up here and this and that? I've been a fan of you for a long time, so I'm glad you're here. We did it for the fans, so I hope you guys are happy, too. So how you doing? You got an album out this week. It's coming out in 3 parts, so 2 already out.
Yep.
Another part's coming. We got a lot of questions for you, but why the 3-part, well, 3-act rollout for Taboo?
Because I wanted to make this shit theatrical, and I wanted people to understand, like, what part of the album they was in, because I've been saying in interviews, like, okay, you're going to have a light part, you're going to have a gray part, and you're going to have a black part. So for people not to get confused, they'll be like, you know what I'm saying? Which one's the light part? Which one's the gray part? Which one's this part? How you know when it starts? So I'm going to show you where it starts. This is the light part, which already came out. Mm-hmm. This is the gray part, which already came out. And then you're going to hit the black part, you know what I'm saying? Which is when everything goes to shit. I wanted the album to go fucking backwards, because usually I start off really dark and then I go light. Uh-huh. I was like, no, light to dark. I just wanted to, like, imagine a plant, right? And it just turns into shit. Mm. Like, just turns into boo-boo. Like, just turns into doo-doo. You feel me? Yeah. That's how I wanted the album to sound like. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting because a lot of people are putting out the double albums, right? We just got another one from Wiz. Super long, 25 tracks. So it's interesting that you're... This is your strategy then. Yeah. A little different than just being like, here's one super long project that maybe side A or side B or like really has no flow.
So, question, my fault. Yeah. All three parts, are they different parts of you?
Well, pretty much, yeah. Mm. But the whole thing is just like... All my personalities are in this one thing, but if you listen to all my albums and stuff like that, it's all different chapters of my life and shit. You feel me? When I was creating this album, it was literally what happened from 2016, 2017, what happened in 2018. Mm-hmm. And that whole process of making this album was like finding who Denzel Curry was, you know what I'm saying? And in the process, I made an alter ego called Zeltron in the process and shit, okay. Which is like, I don't know. It's just a fucking crazy ass entity where I put all my personalities in one person, right. So I wouldn't go crazy. Hmm. And I thought I did it before in 2016 because I created a personality called Ultimate Denzel Curry. But it seems like Ultimate Denzel Curry wasn't as ultimate as he says he was. Hmm. So I created Zeltron to like really embrace each and every personality, every spec, every detail to formulate this one album, like to build it. And that's what it was on the road, you know what I'm saying, when I was creating it. And 2016, it was just like, that was like a real dark period of my life. But everything was happening for me at that same time, right. You know?
You were on the XXL freshman list in 2016, yep. A great class.
Yeah, I was in 2016 freshman class. I went on tour for like a full year straight. What do they call it? But what people don't see is like, I had to move out my crib and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I had to go back to my parents' house. I had to deal with.
Why?
Like, huh? Why? Like, just because, like, what happened was, like, my friends, like, you know, I didn't want to pay, like, the rent. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be the rent all on me and shit. Yeah. Because my friend just lost his job.
Yeah.
And, like, we was all staying in this one crib called the ULT house. Mm-hmm. So instead of giving up the house, I gave it to another friend. Like, look, Forbes, you could take my room. Twevlin's going to move in. And this is when me, X, Ronnie J., JK the Reaper, like my homie Seamus, my homie Lord Lucian, all of us was staying in this one crib, you know what I'm saying? And then like when Shane lost his job at Whole Foods, that's when I was like, nah, I can't pay for everybody, you feel me? Because we had a system, like only four of us like would pay the rent, and some the people that was staying there only had to worry about bills, but you could come there and create, because that's what it was. It was like a creative trap house. Wow. But as soon as that was done, we just left, but we still kept it as a creative trap house. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And like, I went back to my dad's spot to regroup and rethink everything, what I was doing. And then at that time frame, it was like, I was kind of at odds with my family, at odds with like management. I was just mad for no reason. Mm-hmm. This was me. Like, I was dealing with like internal shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I was dealing with like breakups. I was dealing with like people not fucking with me because like whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then when I got out of that hole and then went on tour, plus, it was smart enough to, like, save money going back to my dad's and, like, just traveling because it would make no sense to paying for a crib right then and there.
It's cool to hear the human side of it. I think a lot of times when you're a fan on the outside looking in, it's easy to be like, why did you disappear? Why didn't you put this out? Why didn't you do that? But, like, I mean, you got to remember people go through real shit, you know?
Yeah, but I could tell you why I disappeared, like, for a while because I wasn't really, like, fucking with anything, though. You know what I'm saying? So it was like I was watching all my peers, everyone from my freshman class to my homies, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? They blowing up and shit. And the people that you think are going to be there wasn't really there when I was going through shit. Because everybody had either their own agenda or was just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, I'll get to that.
So it got a bit discouraging for you?
It got a little bit discouraging for me until, like, I had to make choices on my own. I was being selfless to a point I didn't care about myself. Mm. You get what I'm saying? And then it had to be the choice of, do you be selfless or do you be selfish? Hmm. And I had to be selfish for the right reason. You know what I'm saying?
So I moved to L.A. I didn't have a place to stay when I was in L.A. I didn't have no house, nothing. Like, I was just bouncing around from, like, hotel to hotel or from, like, fucking Airbnb to Airbnb. But I didn't have no set location until I met this girl named Kelly. Mm-hmm. And she let me crash at her crib for, like, 5 months. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just no rent, nothing. And then, like, eventually she became, like, a part of my life and shit.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting a crib. And then I was like, yo, since you helped me out throughout the bullshit that I was going through and recording this album and people talking shit about me and people not fucking with me and like realizing who your true friends was, realizing that your family is going to be there no matter what.
Right.
Like, I had to go through all this shit. And then it was kind of a thing where I had to figure out like, yo, who the fuck Denzel Curry was before I started smoking weed, before I started like experimenting with acid, before I started really getting deep into this music shit, before I started doing anything, you know? Before all this clout or fame, whatever the fuck was happening at that time, who he was. And then when I stepped back, I started to realize, like, I was fucking up staying where I was. I was making myself stagnant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
When did you sort of have a breakthrough? So I have this post, I believe this was from March of this year, where fans were getting nervous that maybe you were really going to take a break for a bit and, like, fall back, right? So you said, my biggest fear is not letting myself, my fans, and my family down. I know you only want me to release music and you'll receive it, but as of now, I'm not fucking with anything, and life doesn't mean shit if your purpose is not fulfilled.
I meant what I said.
Do you feel like you've found that purpose now? At that time,
I've been found a purpose, but it's just that, like, when everybody wants you to make the choices they want you to make, like fans demanding you to do shit, like, you better drop something like this or you better do it like this. Nigga, shut the fuck up. Like, come on, bro. Like, shut up. If you don't like my shit, bounce. Like, if you fuck with my shit and you want me to evolve, that's the people I need in my life. Mm. Like, period. And when I wasn't fucking with shit at the moment, I was talking about social media, just seeing everything that was going on at the time. I wasn't fucking with none of that shit. Sometimes it's entertainment. Sometimes it's overwhelming. And I'm just like, man.
Do you feel pressure to be extra on social media? Like, some artists, like, get a lot of views just because of the antics. People tune in to watch. Do you feel pressure? Do people around you pressure you to do that?
No, nobody around me pressure me to do that. Not my management, not my friends, nothing. But it's just that I'm not going to play the bamboozle game. I'm not doing that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? That's not me.
Well, I think, like, you know, what I'm really appreciating from hearing all of this is just you being a man. Because it takes a man to admit, like, you know, having this height in his career and then, like, things going left for you. And you saying, like, a lot of artists would not admit that they had to go live with their parents. A lot of artists wouldn't say, yo, I was down and then another person built me up. Even when we was just talking about, like, you sticking with the same guys that you stuck with. Like, what was the moment with you where you had to understand what you understood who Denzel Curry was prior to all this shit? Like, when was that moment?
Like, before or after?
When you was just saying, like, you was like, yo, I was trying to figure out who Denzel Curry was, like.
The moment I stopped smoking weed.
Okay.
I'm saying, if you smoke weed, you know, that to each his own. If you do whatever, to each his own. But, like, me, I felt like the most clarity I had was when I stopped smoking weed, because I remember, like, all the shit I was making when I wasn't doing anything. Mm. When I wasn't smoking weed, when I wasn't drinking, when I wasn't doing anything. And then, and I was like, you know, when I wasn't doing all this, because I knew my life was going to be boring at some point. Okay. I was like, what do I do from here to keep me happy? And it was just me focusing on what made me happy when I was, like, young. Drawing made me happy. I'm an artist.
Right.
Like, I was drawing before I was rapping. So writing made me happy. I write a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, freestyling made me happy. And, like, that made it fun to go to the studio and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just, like, going to lay some stupid shit down and the stupid shit comes out to be something really dope and then you polish it and make it.
Right.
And just like the process and just like, you know, just living my life and going back into martial arts and stuff and shit like that. Cause lit. I was really into, like,
lit.
Really into martial arts. I'm really into it. Like, I'm so into it. And then the same day I stopped smoking weed, I signed up for Muay Thai. I was like,
See, I told you. I take Muay Thai too.
Yo, yeah, you know what I'm about.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. The shit.
Nah. I think he's taking these classes because Jay-Z took him, bro.
He always got some little silly ass joke.
Okay. So this is 2016. I would imagine that if you're on a freshman cover in 2016, that's like the I've made a moment though. Was it not that for you?
I mean, I didn't really give a fuck about shit.
Yeah.
I didn't care about nothing, bro. Like, I really didn't care about nothing, dog. Because at that moment in my life, it was just, like, depressing for me.
Okay. But career-wise, maybe even, like, maybe money-wise, too, right? Like, you were doing all right. But you should say mentally. Right. Mentally.
Mentally, I was fucked.
You were just not the person you should have been.
Yeah, because, like, you know, when you go on tour and you fucking mad hoes that mad rappers probably fucked already, and then you're, like, you know, you taking drugs and you like you just like not in your right moment. You snapping on management about stupid shit. Mm. Not everything's not coming to you the right way. You know what I'm saying? And then I had to realize I was dealing with internal issues with myself, and I was projecting it onto others. You get me? And at the same time, receiving energy from all this fucked up people. You know what I'm saying? Which makes me more like messed up on the inside.
That's very grown of you to acknowledge that. Like, did someone else help you to get to that point, or was it just you, just a feeling within, from just saying I'm just not feeling this, I'm not happy?
Nah, like it first started with me when I was in Miami and just realizing like, okay, for some reason I knew like, you know, just being in your hometown, like people were just going to start hating you for something. For some reason, somebody.
It's unfortunate, but all artists like deal with it, right?
And majority of the artists that do, unfortunately, lose their lives in their hometown. I mean, and that's from New York to LA to Florida.
Right.
It always comes from home. You know? Yeah.
I'm just like, yo, I looked at everything. And I was like, if I don't do something now, I'm going to get into something, some bullshit.
That's our show for the week. Thanks for tuning in to the Everyday Struggle podcast. We'll catch you here every Friday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.